We'll go ahead and get started. For the purposes of the recording, I'm Keely Shaw, and I'm interviewing Tina Giesbrecht, right?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure I said it right.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the interview over Zoom. I'm currently in London, and Tina is at home. It is February 13th, 2022, and Tina is not related to me. So there's that. So we've already got the written consent form on file. So we've already talked about the project and interviewed talked about the purpose of the interview and the website. So my first question for you is, what do you recall about the start of COVID, the virus or the pandemic?
Well, I personally, when it first started, I was kind of neutral about it. Like, I didn't really, I was not afraid. I mean, I wasn't a fan of all the lockdowns and restrictions they had in place. But I, you know, again, I thought, well, a couple of weeks, you know, we can do this. Not that I personally thought that we needed to. But again, like I said, I wasn't afraid. But I didn't really know much about COVID. So I was kind of neutral, actually, mm-hmm. from the beginning. So
was the lockdown the first time you'd heard about COVID?
No, like you would hear bits and pieces, right? That it started, I think, in China, and then it was spreading, and then, you know, people are starting to talk about it coming here. And then, you know, next thing you know, we hear cases are happening here. And then, like, I think it was January, we started hearing cases, and then all of a sudden it was like, February, okay, everybody, you know, work from home if you can, and then the border shut down. I just remember I wanted to take my grandkids to go see my daughter on the March break, and that's exactly when they were talking about shutting the border. And then it really started to hit home for me, right? Because Linda's in the States, obviously, and I have lots of family in the US, and so yeah.
Yeah. No, obviously I would get that. So like, has your view of like the virus or the pandemic kind of shifted since it started?
I have been the whole time. I have been like, to me, it's been kind of like flu season, right? Right. People get it. Some get it worse than others. I've never been really afraid of it. Even though, you know, unfortunately my mom passed away, they said from COVID, you know, her body was declining. So unfortunately she ended up with COVID and whatever, but, I forget where I was going with this. Sorry.
You're good.
Well, so I was never really afraid of it. Right. I just thought this is just, we need to, and, you know, take care of our immune systems and just let it ride out.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So if you don't mind my asking, did your mom getting sick shift anything around for you?
It made me angry, actually. Mm-hmm. Right. First of all, now I'm probably gonna get a little emotional, but I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay.
And if you need a break, you can also take a break. It's all good.
No, we're fine. We obviously could not. It was during the time they allowed no one in, right? No one. And we knew our mom was terrified. And she had 16 kids, right? She had 16 kids, and they would not let any of us in, not even my sister, who had already been double vaxxed and, you know, and had had COVID and everything. And then just to actually then, you know, watch her die through an iPad. So here we all are on our iPad, everybody at home in their own little space and having to deal with this. And then came the funeral. Okay. Right. So seven of you can come to the funeral. So it made us all very angry. And we thought it was very inhumane the way those protocols were put in place. Like, Mennonites have a custom, they bury their own dead that they stay, right? And they made us wear a mask on the graveyard. It was minus 10 out there almost. And we had to walk away so they couldn't bury her. Like, what is the point to that? That just, it just all made no sense to us. So we actually got angry. And I personally got very angry.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. There was nothing about protecting yourself in that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just stupid rules that made no sense.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that's kind of like, I'm not asking you to speak for the whole Mennonite community, obviously, but
I probably could in general.
Yeah. So like, did COVID like get in the way of like your normal like traditions and way of handling things and socializing?
Absolutely. I mean, Mennonites are the type, like, if things had been normal, that hospital room would have been full the whole time. My mom was so well known in the community. She was such a social person that she would have had the most biggest funeral ever, right? And it's what she would have wanted. And now, you know, we had to be so selective about who could come to the visitation. And like I said, only 7 of us were allowed at the funeral. There was no, it was a nightmare. Honestly, I think our whole family is still struggling a little bit with that. I think we still all have a little problem with, closing, the closing part of, or healing where we're kind of, I think until we actually as a whole family get together and do a celebration or something, I think it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It was very, very different. And you know what? And I'll be honest, and it's, I don't know if you want to hear this about in the interview, but I'll be honest. If my mom had lived and saw what we did, she would have been extremely, extremely upset. She didn't care now, but still, you know, if we would have told her, yes, mom, you're going to die and you're going to have a funeral with 7 of us there. That's it. She would have, yeah. Unheard of. And in our culture seemed inhumane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to switch gears a little bit.
Yeah.
So have you lived through any other health crises that you could kind of compare this to? Is there anything that you've personally experienced that might be similar to how COVID has happened, or?
Nothing that they've claimed to be contagious, right? Or like something that spreads like this. No, I've never. I mean, I work in public health, so obviously we're always talking about, you know, flu and taking care of yourself and good hygiene to prevent spread and that kind of thing. So I was always listening to that, you know, because it always gets talked about in public health, but never like a pandemic sort of thing, no.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what does a typical day look like for you right now? And is that different from before?
Oh, yeah, huge. So I work for public health, but my job is to go visit young moms with babies, right? And I'm working from home, which it seems a little bit superficial, right? Because first of all, I'm not there in person, right? And then second of all, I'm not able to do anything really to help the mom except to give her advice. Right, verbal, and listen to her talk about how difficult things are. I can't come in now and hold her baby while she has a little nap or just has a shower. I can't sit there and talk to her and fold laundry. I can't show her how to play with her toddler on the floor, right? Because it's a mom who's never learned or anything. For goodness sakes, Keely, I had to do a home visit because this mom was extremely high risk, but then I had to get all my PPE on. And you can't do it in your car, so you have to do it in the neighborhood. And then people look like, oh my gosh, there's that person walking into that house with the goggles, the face shield, the mask, the gloves, right? And then the child comes to me, so I'm not wearing a gown. So I have to be like, I'm sorry, I can't touch you. And my job is to be a role model for the mom. So really, I mean, I've been very fortunate. They've still allowed us to, you know, continue to work and talk to these moms. And I think it does help, right? Obviously. But it's so different than what I'm used to doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So does it feel like less effective or helpful?
Oh, way less effective.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm actually very surprised how many of my moms are the regulars, you know, that take the calls every week and want the calls and whatever. But then there's also this thing, Keely, where I have a new baby and I have three other kids at home. I cannot talk on the phone, right? We'll have to talk when my husband's home to watch the kids, right? Or something like that. And yet this is the mom who needs it the most, pretty much, right? But so it's not ideal. Let's put it that way. It's not ideal.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's a huge like social aspect to that whole thing, that like mm-hmm. in-person aspect to that, that doesn't translate well, I suppose.
Yeah, and like I said, our job is to role model. So how do you hold the baby and burp it? You know, if your baby's struggling, what do you help if you feel your baby is gassy, that kind of thing. A lot of women are even afraid to bath their babies, right? So we're a very hands-on kind of program. And now it's like, your toddler can't even touch me unless I'm wearing a gown. Come on. Like, and I know for the Mennonite families, they would not even take visits because I was wearing masks and goggles and gloves and gowns. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. So are you spending more time or less time inside or outside your home than you were before?
Oh, way more time.
Yeah.
I used to hardly ever be home except in the evening, especially, you know, when I was working, I was on the road all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Now I work from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm home all the time.
Yeah.
I even got to a place, Keely, I was a very outgoing social person, very. And I got to a place where I just didn't want to go out. I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Then if I had to, it was even a punishment for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I've since moved on. I've pushed myself, you know, since the gym has opened up, obviously.
Why did it switch like that originally into being like a punishment
for me to go out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, well, now I was planted inside. I think it was just the convenience and hating the fact that you had to wear a mask everywhere you went, you know. And there was just no desire whatsoever. It just all seemed so, everything seemed so surreal. And, you know, you can't really talk to people. They don't, half of them don't recognize you, right? Because you're wearing your mask. And the shopping lines initially were insanely long, right? So I just got to a point where, and any time I could get my sister or my husband or someone to pick up something I needed and bring it, so I didn't have to go out.
Yeah. So you're still going to the grocery store, right? Like y'all just go shopping like normal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was one of the questions, is like, how do you get supplies?
We have Amazon shopping now, though. Trust me, we do a lot more Amazon shopping. Good old Amazon.
Yeah. So what are you doing in your spare time, and has that changed?
What do I do in my spare time? Has that changed? To be honest, not as much because of, you know, I still have my grandkids, right? My son is a single dad, so I still have my grandkids here a lot. Every weekend, and I've still kept a connection with my little circle. Like my sisters come over, my daughter will come over. So that part has still been the kind of the same as before, my social life. Yeah. Except obviously, you know, you're not invited to weddings, and we didn't have church for a long time. So I didn't even go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's totally changed too, right? Because now we were doing church online all the time. So But I still, like I said, I saw my grandkids, my kids, and my sisters.
What was it like doing church online? What does that look like?
It seemed a little bit, I don't know. I mean, the idea of wearing pajamas and drinking coffee while you're having your church service was not that bad, but it's not the same as when you're with a group of people worshiping, singing and worshiping together. So it's a little artificial, like you said, right? Like yes, you listen to the message and you try to get out of it what you can, but there's not that whole atmosphere, that whole, like I said, that whole feeling of worship and of people singing together, right? So that was another thing. It was hard for me to go back to church. I actually didn't even want to. I got like, and then I'm like, okay, you know, you better, once we finally were able to have church, we still have to wear masks and we still have to social distance in church, which is kind of weird too, you know? And you can't, so people don't want to hug, they don't want to shake hands. Well, we're told not to. Not that I don't want to, we're told not to. So we try to respect that, right? So very different.
Yeah. Is there anything that you miss from pre-pandemic times, like specifically?
Well, the whole church thing, the one thing, like being able to go up to people, hug them, you know, handshake, big social gatherings, right? Like my daughter got married during the pandemic. That was a huge, like, I mean, she ended up having a cute little wedding in our backyard, but still, you know. So it was just a lot of things. Every time you thought about something, darn, we can't, right? Darn, we can't. Like, couldn't have a bridal shower, couldn't do this, couldn't have a wedding reception, couldn't, you know. Everything was, it just feels so, you feel so limited, kind of like you're in this box, right? You can kind of move around in the box a little bit and you can do things, but man, you try to get outside that box and then you're hitting a brick wall every time, every which side you go to. Right? So.
What was it like trying to plan a wedding?
I felt so bad for my daughter because then they were constantly talking about changing restrictions again. Right. So they said, okay, outdoor, so many people. So then they made their invitation list. These are the people we're going to invite now. Right. Knowing it would have to be outdoor, but then they were constantly changing. And then they're like, oh no, can we go ahead? Can we not go ahead? Well, you know, so it was very, very stressful for them. And of course, my role as mom was just try to keep things, you know, as just try to be reassuring and just go with it. I just had to go with it and support it and helped as much as I could. You know, obviously at that point, then if you can't have the big wedding, you don't want to spend the money, right? So then we tried to do things so that it would not cost as much. But again, you know, our son came from Barrie, had the new baby, wouldn't let anybody hold the baby, wouldn't even come into our house because his wife is very, you know, she's a very cautious person or whatever. And then each family had to sit at their own table, right? And then the bride and groom, when they mingled, they had to wear a mask. And we had to be so careful about how we served drinks and food. Like it was just, yeah. Needless to say, we made it work, but it was not ideal. So,
your son, I didn't realize he had his kid during the pandemic. And there was a new baby during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed any differences in that, like how the kid's doing compared to other children you've seen growing up? I don't know.
Well, we have been a little bit concerned, but because they're very much a homebody. So his wife is obviously at home, very much a homebody, but she has also been very good about taking them out a lot locally, like just being outside a lot. They live in a snowbelt area up north in Barrie, and so they. But here's what happened. If I wanted to go see my baby, I had to quarantine, I had to isolate. Then I had to go get a PCR test, wait for my results, and then I was able to go visit, right? And then initially it was told you can't even stop at a service center to go to the bathroom. when you're driving. Like, it just all seems so bizarre, right? Yeah. So, but I did see him at birth, and then I didn't see him again until like a year later, almost. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw him at the wedding. He was a few months old, but couldn't touch him. And then like a year later. So we haven't been able to do Christmas or anything with all of our kids, right? Because Linda couldn't cross the border. And so, yeah. But as far as the kids, they're doing fine. Yes, they're doing fine, right? I mean, the baby obviously doesn't know different, right? People wear masks.
Yeah. So would you, I mean, I'm assuming you would have probably seen the baby more if it hadn't been for COVID.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. When I see my daughter-in-law post little videos on Instagram, I often get a little emotional because they're growing up and I can't see them. Right. So, like even now, she's asking that I isolate for 5 days and do a rapid test, and I'm going to do it, right? I will do it. But up until now, that was not even an option. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Your answer is way longer than you want them to be.
No, it's good. I want you to talk. That's the whole thing, right? Like, I want you to talk. Like, the theoretical length of an interview is generally about an hour. Generally, it's a little bit shorter than that, unless somebody's chatty. But I want you to be chatty. That's the whole point. Okay. I want you to tell me about these things. That's why I'm asking.
It's actually a little therapeutic, I think. You know, yeah. Me and my sisters, we're pretty tight, and we talk about our issues and stuff too. But you know, it's just so many people have differences of opinion about, right? And it's kind of freeing to be able to just tell you.
Yeah. that's what a lot of people say whenever they're interviewed for things. Because my job's not to judge, it's just to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, a lot of people find it therapeutic. So yes, I want you to talk. No worries about length. You're good. So this one is probably going to be a longer answer from you. It is, what is the mood among your family and friends and or coworkers, and how do you think they're responding to the virus or pandemic?
Well, the coworkers is different. I work in public health, right? So obviously I'm working from home, so I haven't been at work, but obviously, you know, I did COVID calls for a long time, for almost, you know, 2 years. So the work atmosphere was stress. Everybody was stressed to the max, right? Cause we public health, that's right. But in our family, our personal, the atmosphere has been, it was very stressful when my mom passed and we had to deal with her whole estate, right? But having said that, there's still 11 of us, and it actually went fairly smooth. So I'm impressed with that. But our family in general, like I said, me and my sisters, we get together quite a bit. So we're pretty open about our frustrations, and we're all kind of a little bit on the same. We've had a little bit of division every once in a while, because I have a sister who works in long-term care, you know, but for the majority of the time, we've just kind of, you know, really just tried to support each other, stick together, tried to make the best of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But work, definitely stress.
Yeah, I bet. So there's a huge difference in how people have kind of responded to the pandemic then?
There is. Oh, yes. Now, you got to remember, though, I'm from the Mennonite community, right? So I got one foot in public health and one foot here.
Yeah.
So you can kind of imagine. So I have to be very careful and tread lightly. And regardless, but I take my job very seriously. So obviously, you know, when I was at work, I was doing whatever was required at work, right? My personal opinion, I take that home. Mm-hmm. So.
That makes sense. So, has vaccination changed your everyday life or view of the pandemic?
Has vaccination, you mean how do I feel safer?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of ways to interpret it.
I guess, you know, personally, I'm a little bit angry because I'm one of those people that felt forced into the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I honestly did not feel that I needed to, because I had COVID, I did an antibody test, and I generally try to take care of myself and, you know, use good. But if I wanted to see my babies, I had to get the vaccine. And a lot of people were put in situations like that, right? So a lot of people took the vaccine because they felt forced, hence the anger we're seeing in Ottawa right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that the vaccine, I mean, to be honest, this just came out recently because of everything that's going on. You know, my sister's been digging her heels into stats and stuff, and you know, it almost seems like the vaccine is going to be doing more harm than good. But there is a lot of people, they do believe in it, right? They do take it. They do feel safer. They do. We are just not those. My husband and I both got vaccinated because we felt we had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not feel safer because we've had the vaccine. No.
Mm-hmm. And you can abstain from answering this if you want. Is there like a particular reason you guys don't trust the vaccine, or is it just like a general?
Well, like I said, we both had COVID. So we got it, like, you know, we got through it and I even did an antibody test. So I just didn't feel that I needed it. Right. Like, I just didn't feel the need. And then because I'm not a research kind of person, right. So I don't really know. So you hear so many different stories, right? So there's so many negative stories, right? Although we hear the World Health Organization is really pushing it and claiming it's whatever. But then there's also, you know, again, coming from the Mennonite community, they're very skeptical in this kind of thing. they're very negative about it, a lot of them. So they also come up with a lot of resources that are very much against it. So I'll be honest, Keely, I just don't even know. I just believe in my heart that if I hadn't been forced, I would have chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have encouraged anybody that wants to, I would have not been against that. But I would have probably just chose not to, because I'm always one of those people, I like trying to do natural immunity anyways, right? Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is that kind of, again, I don't mean to force you to speak for the Mennonite community, but is that kind of something you've seen throughout the Mennonite community, at least in Aylmer?
Absolutely. In this area, everywhere. Yes. And I can tell you, like, because I still have my truck license, I have been able to cross the border a few times during the pandemic. And I was in Texas visiting my family there, and it was even worse there. Oh my gosh, there they made fun of us that we were still wearing masks, kind of thing, right? Like in Canada. So yeah, I would say in general, yes, there's the trust is just not there, right? So,
what was it like for Pete being a truck driver during it?
Well, initially, truck drivers were like, oh, my gosh, you're crossing the border. You can't touch me. You can't be close to me. Right. They wouldn't serve them coffee. They wouldn't let them use the bathrooms or whatever. And then I think it just kind of hit everybody. Wait, these are the guys that are still bringing us our supplies. Right. So we need them. So Pete worked harder than ever. He was busier than ever. Right. Come and go as he pleased. And then all of a sudden, they came up with this mandate where truckers had to be vaccinated to want to cross the border, right? So, it again, it's one of those frustrating things. Initially, when the pandemic was at its worst, I was free to come and go, right, and work my butt off to try to keep supplies coming. And now all of a sudden that things are where they are, now all of a sudden I can't work because I'm not vaccinated. It just doesn't make Kiwi, so much of it just doesn't make any sense to us. Like, we're just like, where is the common sense in this? Right? So now that the pandemic is almost over, now truckers have to be forced to be vaccinated. Hello? They spend 22 hours a day in their truck. Who are they gonna spread it to? So that's kind of, you know what I, right? Mm-hmm. So initially it was like, oh, you're a truck driver. And all was like, oh yes, you're a truck driver, we thank you. And then it was like, oh wait, you can't work if you don't get your vaccine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it was, but I'll be honest, Pete has worked. He's been pretty busy through the whole thing, right? He's been able to work fairly consistent and has been busy through the whole thing.
That's good. Work is good. Money's nice.
He's at home now, obviously. He's not working now, but but you know, he's can't cross the border. You can't work, right? Or for him anyway. So
That's the end of my list of questions. But do you have anything else you'd like to talk about? Anything relating to COVID? Any experiences that stood out to you during COVID? Anything like that?
Well, I think it's kind of like you've kind of heard through the whole interview. You know, obviously, I don't understand, right? I don't understand. I'm not a researcher, that kind of thing. Just kind of going with my own gut feeling and the way we view life, right? Like, for example, my mom, you know, they were saying, please don't have visitors. They can spread, especially if you're vulnerable. Well, my mom was extremely vulnerable. She had diabetes and heart disease and kidney failure, but she would rather risk getting COVID and dying than not see people. Right. So everything has to us has been kind of like we've had to go along with it because we felt we didn't have a choice. But have we actually believed in it? No. Right. Like it's we would have preferred just to, you know, everybody take care of yourself, you know. If you don't feel safe, wear a mask and don't go out or whatever. But for those of you, you know, and the whole thing about pushing the vaccine, that has been like, it's one thing to encourage, right? It's one thing to encourage, but when you start to force it, where you give people no choice, then this is what I'm thinking. Why? What's behind it? Right? What's driving this? For them to make it so extremely difficult and harsh for so many people that are choosing, that are generally terrified. You have to remember, it doesn't make sense to us, but there are people that generally believe that is going to poison them. And who am I to say that it's not? I don't know, right? So it's very, very frustrating. It's all along. It's just very, very frustrating. And the frustrating part and the anger comes from feeling like you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. So, and like I said, I think hence the reason what's happening in Ottawa now.
Yeah. So you mentioned something in there that like, why would they want us to take it so badly? Does it feel like there's like an ulterior motive other than just getting people shots? Does it feel like there's more to it?
100%. Mm-hmm. We believe that 100%. And the Mennonites in general, I think I can speak for Mennonites in general. They believe that. And you know, and initially, like I said, you know, they were encouraging very much and whatever. But then, you know, and then another thing is, so, okay, get the vaccine, did one, get the second one, did it. Now let's get a booster, get the fourth, get the fifth. Come on. Like, seriously? No. I don't know what you're injecting me with, right? I'm like, I had COVID. I did my antibody. I had my double vaccine. shut up, leave me alone, let me live, right? And like I said, and a lot of people, and Keely, it doesn't help that there is still a lot of professionals out there that are saying how extremely bad and how, what the negative effects of this is going to be. So who do you listen to?
Mm-hmm.
Right? These people have credentials. Their credentials are very good. They stand firm in what they believe in. Right. But they don't have that. So clearly it's a political thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in our opinion, it's a huge political thing.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's benefiting. And it's not just Moderna and Pfizer. So I don't know if you can use that, but anyway, that's just how.
It's not personal medical information. So yeah, it's fine. Okay. I think that's everything I have noted.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to speak on?
No, I think I've said my, I think I've been able to say kind of like, you know, the overall consensus. We did it because, you know, we were told, and did we believe in it? Not really. Are we a little bit angry? Yes. Now that they're trying to force it, we're absolutely against it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we think you should just take lots of vitamins and take good care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.